everyone. Welcome to Archant Towers. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast, I guess for one of the last times this season. But there we go. It's wasting away with rapid abandon. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt. We're at Archant, back from Leeds, Pad. We're not on the road, and it's just the two of us. It's strange surroundings, I suppose. A little bit different.
Very cosy, mate. Very cosy.
Very cosy. The ideal surroundings to talk about Norwich City's 3-3 draw at Elland Road. They ended Leeds' playoff hopes, which I guess is what some Norwich fans would have hoped for. They did it in quite dramatic style and certainly did themselves no favours being 3-0 up and chucking it away. I mean, I just think this season, it's just been nuts, hasn't it? We've seen so many weird phenomena that have taken place, and it's just another chapter of it to sign off the away day blues.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, away or home, I mean, you say that game in isolation and you would be absolutely agog, and the fallout would still be continuing 2 days on at the manner of the way the game panned out, if it wasn't for the fact that we've seen some rather bizarre sights all through the season, really, both in a negative sense. We don't need to reel them off, but there's been some truly woeful hammerings, mainly away from home. And even the other way, I think back to the Reading game, you know, the amount of goals that day, and Forest as well down here with the quality of the strikes, you know, Housen and Wes. I mean, these are almost probably overstating it to say like generational happenings, but it just seems to be a season where it's certainly not mediocre. It's, well, in terms of where Norwich are finishing it is, but in the sense of, you know, it's the same old kind of thing. It's certainly been notable, not all for the good, as I've alluded to there. But in that context, this was just another link in the chain. Whereas maybe another season, you would be thinking, well, that's a game we won't see for a while. Unfortunately, we've seen too many of them. But yeah, more of the same negatively, certainly. But also offensively, you know, if you want to cling to something, it is that they have players who will score goals in absolute bagfuls. Now, whether all those players will still be here come August, that's another question. We'll find that out in due course. But certainly there's one part of the equation that seems in rude health. Conversely, the other side of it needs major work, and that was evident again at Elland Road, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. It's just so erratic. Mediocrity's in the middle, and they're just sort of going from the sublime to the ridiculous either way in it. It's so interesting, isn't it? This summer is going to be fascinating, because it's such a balancing act between keeping the quality they do have and genuinely maintaining the ability to have a challenge next year and renewing it. And the recruitment has to be so specific in terms of what they want to add to the squad, doesn't it? The elements, certainly defensively, that they need.
Yeah.
And obviously they want to change how they play completely. That's what Stuart Webber wants to do. But they have scored a load of, even away from home, they're one of the top, you know, one of the top scorers away from home. So it's just bizarre how that's come so easy to him and to them. And they have to be protective of that, don't they? You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think I got that. I said dishwater
Did
last
you?
Time, yeah. Which I think some people are then questioning how well I look after my son. But anyway, yeah, it's a fine balancing act, I think, is the point. Anyway, Pad.
Yeah, no, yeah, I couldn't agree more, mate. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we just look at it observed from the sidelines, but I would personally think, never having been a coach, so you know, I'm willing to be put straight, that the harder part of the game is scoring goals. Hence why strikers in these inflated times are always going for the biggest money, because they're the rarest of commodities, guaranteed goals. Well, Norwich have that in abundance, and not just through the, you know, the actions of one individual. You know, there's a broad range of guys who can score and create. So to my mind, if you're constructing a template and a group of players and an identity and a culture, the hardest thing would be to actually create, you know, the offensive elements of that mix. And you would think, conversely, to stop leaking goals, it's just basic organisation. It's just basic drilled day in, day out. I mean, I'll show my age. Right now, the George Graham Arsenal side, you know, they used to have not just the fact that they were excellent players, Bold, Adams, Keown, you know, Dixon, Steeman, they sort of rolled off the tongue. But Graham would drill them week in, week out, day in, day out. They all knew their jobs, both individually and collectively. And we know, because Alan Irvine has told us this since he's took it on now from Alex Neil, that Alex Neil, as a coach, worked hard on the offensive. And it's probably a tribute to him that we're talking about the goals for column in glowing terms, because clearly that's where a lot of his focus was on a day-to-day basis on the training field. That's fine, but the bit that's been neglected is what has basically hamstrung them and checked any sense that they could actually get into the promotion mix at the deciding end of the season. So I think it's just a case of, basically, as much as it's about personnel and clearly there's players that aren't going to be part of it defensively moving forward, and that needs to be addressed, it's also this new head coach has, to my mind, just has to drill them day in, day out, and actually not neglect what is quite a basic and important part of the game, which is keeping the back door shut, because the one more than you culture isn't going to be a recipe for long term success, and that's the top and bottom of it. But as I say, I want to accentuate a positive now, that because we've had so much doom and gloom and so much negativity and so much sort of sifting through wreckages of poor performances and poor defeats, that, you know, cling to the positives that are in this group of players, and there are positives. Stuart Webber, he said there's a lot of players in an attacking sense that any club in the top eight would want in their team. So there is something to build from. It's not, you know, as Alan Irvine said, it's not you throw all the pieces up in the jigs or up in the air in the summer and then we'll see what happens come August. There are foundations, but within that, if they don't address the chronic deficiencies without the ball, then I fear we're going to be here again next season.
Yeah, that's very true. And I guess the clear definition between the success going forward and the deficiencies going back should make it quite easy to figure out the exact qualities they're going to need if they keep it a little bit more simple over the summer. We'll have to see. Obviously, the recruitment over the summers and recent windows has had taken a fair old battering, which is completely fair enough. But again, Nelson Oliveira comes up with two goals. I mean, he said himself he should have had a hat trick. Probably could have had four, really. He had five great chances in total. But to, you know, take that whole recruitment issue, he seems to be one of the bright spots. And I do think maybe the only issue was that they didn't get him in early enough and it took him a while to, you know, get fit and get ready to sort of tackle the championship properly. But he seems quite keen to stay on for next year. He seems aware of where he is and all that sort of stuff. So that bodes well, because I think he's still a good age and he says himself he expects to be a better player next season for Norwich.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Yes, he should have scored more than the two on Saturday, but that is a guy in the right system with the right service. He will score goals, and at 25, he's only going to get better. I think it's a key factor that his big mate Pinto has made it clear that he doesn't want to go anywhere. He's not going to be actively looking to bail out and jump ship. So you keep them two for me all day long next season, moving through this summer, because they are two players I think are more than good enough to be competing in a tide at the top end of the championship. I'll throw another one in, Alex Pritchard. Alex Pritchard is the standout player of the latter end of the season. He was the marquee signing last summer. Why has it taken this long now for him to blossom under a different manager, effectively? You know, was there a trust issue there, a trust deficit with Alex Neil? Obviously, Wes Hoolan, that was a factor because he was very good at the start of the season, but I think it's fair to say Wes has tailed off alarmingly now. And you're going to get fitful performances from here on in because of his age. So, you know, Alex Pritchard, if we're talking recruitment, it's not been all bad, clearly, you know, because those two, him and Oliveira, have proven that over time, I think they're going to be astute signings for Norwich. But unfortunately, there's been, for every good signing, there's been poor signings. And what you said is right. They can't afford that kind of success rate. As difficult as it is in the transfer market, that's why your man Webber is in now, because he clearly, his main USP is that he's a very astute operator in the transfer window. He needs to be, because, again, underpinning it all is the lack of financial wriggle room they've got this summer, that they can't take any punts and they can't really go with the same success rate, i.e. for every good signing they've made a poor signing, because that isn't going to be sufficient this time round. The window and Norwich's activity in it has to be so precise and so defined. And what I'm happy to read from Steve Stone's latest interview, which has come out today, is that essentially he doesn't feel we're going to be in a scenario now where, and we've seen it in recent windows, where it gets to the final day, the final hours, who are Norwich going to sign? Are they going to get X over the line? He seems to think that Stuart Webber is the type of character who is get his business a lot earlier than the desperate last throws. And I think I would like to see that personally, because I don't think that makes for sensible decisions, you know. And we'll throw in the name of Yannick Wiltshire. I know it's difficult to judge him so far because he's only really getting his feet under the table, but that to me looks like a panic buy. The more I don't see him in the side, the more you have to think that that was, we've let Olsen go, we've let Robbie Brady go on the same deadline day. We need to get somebody in, and if we have to pay over the odds, we will do. You would think under Webber that isn't going to be the case moving forward.
Spot on. And there's a couple of points with Webber and the head coach we'll touch on in a moment. But first of all, let's hear from Alan Irvin and Nelson Oliveira.
Right now I feel angry. I feel disappointed because we allowed them back into the game after being absolutely outstanding for 45 minutes. In the 46th minute, we were unprofessional. We didn't get players back in position for their kickoff, and we paid the price. And I went mad at half time in the dressing room when I should have been telling them how good they'd been. And quite simply, they needed to get back into position and do the job properly when we'd scored the third goal. I like him. I like him as a player. I like him as a lad. As I said, he's got a real understanding, and he's selfless as well. He does he does a job for the team at his own expense on many occasions. And so, you know, if I was the head coach, and I would certainly be wanting to continue to work with Stephen Naismith.
I guess you had two goals today, but you probably could have had four or five, could you not, personally?
Yeah, if I score all the opportunities, yes, but a striker never score all the opportunities. But I think I could do a trick, not four, but maybe a trick I could do it. But I think a goalkeeper make a great save in the... When I control the ball in the box, and after I shoot, he make a great block. And my left shoot before, maybe I could shoot better, but it's gone.
How hard is it when the momentum in a game like that changes? Because it was just basically all yours the first half, and then from the end of the first half on the second, the momentum was there. It's almost an irresistible force, I suppose. Does it feel like that on the pitch?
Yeah, we know that they will come back strong for the second half because they scored the last minute goal, and the last thing that should happen is concede a goal in the first minute, and we concede a scrappy goal in the first minute, and after is a completely different game. We couldn't enjoy the game because it's a fight game. Their fans pushing up is a... I think we should go 3-0 to half-time and enjoy the second half.
When you came here, you would have expected, I guess, to be hopefully playing in the Premier League next season. How big a disappointment is that? Because I'm sure that would have been at the forefront of choosing Norwich City.
Yeah, exactly. I come here with this proposal, but we don't achieve that this season. I think we concede some mistakes, but... We need to focus on next season and achieve the promotion next season, because I think we are capable of, because Norwich deserve being Premier League, not in Championship, and we will do our best to do that.
And you personally have the patience to wait another season, because obviously we don't know what's going to happen during the summer. There's going to be a big rebuild. We don't know what offers are going to come in. And...
To be fair, this is not... It's not my business. I have nothing to do with that. I just need to do my work. I'm focused on Norwich, and hopefully, like I said before, next season we achieve our goals and we get promoted.
Do you like Norwich? Has he been in... Nelson, over your career, you've been at a lot of different clubs on loan. I remember interviewing at Nottingham Forest when you've been out on loan at a lot of different clubs. Norwich, maybe a place where you can sort of settle and stay for a good few years?
Yeah, like I said before, I think it's very important to a player settle in a club. And this is my first time that
Club signed me permanently, and I find my home here. I feel good here. I can play week in, week out, and when this happens, I can show my best. I can score goals. I can put a good performance. But when you go on loan, is always hard because you never find like at home, and is for me is not good.
Mentioned just a moment ago, Paddy, about Stuart Webber getting his business done early. He's doing that in terms of his backroom team. Yeah. I noticed a couple of guys in from, well, who he worked with at Wolves. Interesting, possibly-ish. I don't know that they didn't work with him at Huddersfield, but you can sometimes read too much into that. What they are is promotions. You tell us who they are, Pad.
Only because I've written about them ad nauseum since Saturday. We've got Kieran Scott, worked with Mark Warburton at Rangers most recently. And he's going to head up the UK arm of the scouting network. And then a lad who has been at Molineux for 6 years, Chris Badland, worked with Webber, as you rightly say, headed up their emerging talent set up at Wolves, and will now be given the responsibility for the European element of it all. So, yeah, very young it would appear, but then so is Webber. So, you know, let's hope that's a good thing, but it certainly is. You know, step up in their career development, and there's not going to be too much time to bed in, I wouldn't have thought, for reasons we've already discussed.
Indeed, which of course leaves probably the primary focal point now off the pitch, which is who Norwich City's new head coach is going to be. Basically, how I see it, Gary Monk, obviously Leeds manager, and we'll probably touch a little bit more on the Leeds game in a bit as well, but Gary Monk has been touted and linked, and we don't know where his future's going to be. Uwe Rosler, who... likewise, Fleetwood have got the playoffs now to contend with, and whether he'll... There was some speculation saying he'll be off for a bigger club in the summer regardless. And a bit of speculation today over Michael O'Neill, although, you know, quite where that's come from, I guess, is the question point there. Whether he would be a Stuart Webber kind of signing, I don't know. What do you make of all that then, Pad? Or is it going to be someone else?
Well, the only other one I would think I would throw in would be Wagner. And again, that's wholly dependent on what Huddersfield do or don't do in the playoffs, because I think the reality is if they don't go up, David Wagner won't be at the John Smith's. I had to think what the name of the ground was.
Let's keep changing. It'll always be the McAlpine to me.
Yeah, or the Gal Farm as well. That was another one. But so I think the fact Webber put the timeline on it 2 to 3 weeks after QPR covers all eventualities in terms of, we'll say hypothetically, a Rosler, because the League One playoff final, I believe, is on May the 20th, so that would fall into that time frame, and obviously the Championship playoff final will be a little bit later, but still not massively overrunning. So yeah, having been in Gary Monk's post-match at Elland Road, that's to me pretty cut and dried now. If Leeds were serious about keeping that guy, they wouldn't be keeping him hanging till June to decide his future, because it, as Norwich will need to find out very swiftly, you can't wait that length of time into the summer if you're trying to plan ahead and be competitive against, you know, your Championship rival. So I think it's safe to assume Gary Monk's on his way. Now, whether he's coming to Carr Road or not, time will tell. But they all seem to fit the profile of what Webber clearly would want, which is receptive to that head coach idea rather than an Alex Neil type of manager, where all power seem to be vested in his person. That's not going to be the way moving forward. Those names are continually being touted for a reason. Not ruling out clearly what happened with Alex Neil that time, albeit it's a different top brass, top hierarchy at Cairo now, but the old left field appointment, we can't rule that out. But I would think if you were to narrow the focus to those four, you wouldn't be too far wide of the mark.
And then I guess it's a question of who people want. I mean, it was interesting with Leeds. I saw a lot of their shortcomings that kind of saw with Swansea under Gary Monk as well in that first half. And they kind of lacked belief and intensity. As soon as they went a goal down, you could tell they'd been on a bad run, because they dropped off their level entirely until they were obviously gifted their way back in first half injury time. But Leeds fans made it abundantly clear they want Gary Monk to hang around, and the job he's done there to even get them anywhere near the top six is probably interesting, that they have had to suffer disappointment in missing out, which they have officially done, even though no one really expected them probably to be in the top six at the start of the season.
Well, I mean, Alan Irvine, I thought, was spot on Friday pre-match when it was almost like, don't judge Gary Monk through the sort of prism of what has been quite an alarming drop-off towards the end of the season. Now, for 4 months, they were in the top six, and sadly, for them anyway, they've just, at the crucial period, just not had quite enough. But at the start of the season, if you'd have said to a Leeds supporter who have seen nothing but basically upheaval off the pitch in recent years, really since exiting the Premier League, this guy will get you in the top seven, quarterfinals of the League Cup, playing at a brand of high tempo, high energy, blooding young players, you would say yes please if you were a Leeds fan before a ball was kicked. And so he's delivered that, so I can understand entirely why. And I think, you know, yeah, okay, they have tailed off, but there's a lot of young players, and Gary Monk alluded to that on Saturday evening, that it, with so many young players, you're going to get dips and inconsistency, and the magnitude of what they were shooting for, which was to get into the top six, I think has caught up with a few of those younger players. But no, I like his work. I like what he's done there. Certainly, he's got two centre backs there in Janssen and Bartley, who wouldn't be bullied quite as easily as Norwich's centre backs appear to be. So that would be a good starting point for me. I think the full backs are good as well. Very aggressive on the front foot. They've got what I think Weber clearly values, and that is an identity. You know what a Gary Monk Leeds side is going to bring. That doesn't always guarantee the result, but there's a clear identity, there's a clear philosophy with and without the ball, and you know, a shape and an organisation. And you know, I wouldn't be averse to him coming through the door, but ultimately, yeah, you know, he hasn't exactly had massive success, albeit he did very well at Swansea when he first went. Stepped up, you know, he I think led them to their highest ever position points total wise in the Premier League. So okay, it didn't quite go to plan thereafter, but you know, he's a guy who's got something about him, I think. And you know, whereas Rosler, I'm not quite seeing it. I don't see why he would theoretically be Weber's number one target. I mean, Fleetwood, he's had a lot of backing there to get them in the position he has done. But he's missed out on automatic. Didn't work for him at Wigan, did it? Brentford, okay. He started the ball rolling there. But, you know, I would think of the two, I'd prefer Monk, if I'm honest.
We'll see how those decisions pan out. In terms of Alan and Norwich, in that first half, did you see more of a cohesion that maybe we'd seen away from? It was a great first half performance in a lot of ways. I kind of felt that I saw more of a structure, and they defended pretty well in that first half. I mean, it just comes with the caveat of the complete deterioration and meltdown in the second half, I suppose.
Well, I mean, yeah, I could kind of see that. I mean, we had a bit of that at Leeds as well, but then conversely at Huddersfield, again, Huddersfield, very similar parallel to Leeds. You know, Norwich were in the ascendant on the front foot, holding their own at Huddersfield rather than clearly as dominant as they were at Leeds in the first half. But as soon as the pressure came on, they folded, and the organisation was found to be wanting. So, no, I wouldn't overly attach a huge uplift to Alan Irvine in terms of the organisational structure. I think what it clearly has proven is that there was a lot of lads there who weren't really buying into Alex Neil's methods anymore, and the fact that he's left, it's almost anybody but Alex Neil, I think. And he's clearly hugely respected. I think he is a good coach. He talks an excellent game as well. You know, you can imagine if you're a player listening to him, there's so much common sense, and he's hugely experienced. So yes, clearly I think he has had on balance a positive impact, but ultimately I think really it's only a limited amount of uplift that we've had, really, isn't it? You know, ultimately, you know, they haven't, if they'd have gone to a Leeds and held on there, if they had performed better at Huddersfield and you know, Fulham at home, then you would be saying this guy, for me, would be a very strong candidate to be the head coach on a permanent basis. But that hasn't been the case. So yeah, he's done a good job, because as he said himself, it's difficult circumstances that he's inherited. And I think Norwich were fortunate that he was in position and he was able to sort of be the bridge between, you know, what's clearly not worked with Alex Neil and what hopefully will work with a new head coach. Yeah,
spot on. And very lucky to have him around. I guess the one thing we need to touch on is Stephen Naismith before we wrap this up. And I know we spoke about it on our various live videos and bits and bobs post-match, and you can watch all those on pinken.com and the Facebook page and Norfolk Now YouTube. sublime to ridiculous again in him, because wonderfully taken opening goal. Thought he played really well, and then just I think he was a little bit unfortunate, if I'm honest, having seen it back, because I think he sort of it wasn't like he just lost his head and dived in. To me, it looked like he got himself in a bad position, and then he seemed to react as if it was he knew it was a bad one when he'd done it. But to now, his season's over. He's probably going to be banned for the first two games of next season, I assume. And we, to be quite honest, have no idea where he's going to be playing his football either.
Well, no, I mean, ultimately he falls into that bracket, which I think will be the true test of Weber and what he said publicly in terms of overhauls, because he is a guy who's A, on a long-term contract, and B, on very good money. So unless, if you're Stephen Naismith, there's an attractive proposition elsewhere, then you're going nowhere, and Norwich won't be able to shift him either, ultimately. So, but sound bites from Weber, I mean, he seems to rate Stephen Naismith. He's got him as one of the quality operators in that number 10 role. Alan Irvine was effusive post-match. I saw his quotes. So I don't think we'll be seeing Stephen Naismith anywhere other than in a Norwich shirt at the start of next season after he served his ban. But he certainly needs to, you know, grasp the nettle now in terms of his career at Norwich, because he's flattered to deceive overall, let's be honest. You know, the quality is there, the ability is there. He should be influencing games at Championship level far more than he has done to this point. And, you know, it needs to come from him, and it also needs to come from a new head coach, because there's a player there who I think could be residually effective for Norwich. Again, a bit like Oliveira and Pritchard, if he's found to put him in the right mix in terms of where you play him on the pitch, what you ask him to do. But no doubt about it, excellent player. We just haven't seen enough of it in Norwich.
Amen to that. As if only Sunderland had pushed that boat out that little bit more and signed Naismith and Ruddy last August, it could have all been so different. Right, well, let's wrap this up, shall we, Pads? And we'll be back after the final game of the season against QPR. I don't know when, but at some point, one day or two after that, and we'll probably do some sort of wrapping up of the season in total. Sounds good?
Sounds good to me, mate.
I'll do that. In the meantime, keep an eye on pinkin.com for all the latest rumours, of course, regarding those vacancies to be filled at Carrow Road. And maybe we'll get some player speculation. We haven't had a lot yet, so we'll have to see if any of that's forthcoming. But until then, have fun, and we'll see you on the other side. Goodbye.